Thank you for joining us at the Roundtable.
Brought to you by Community Education Arts, a nonprofit organization based in Noblesville, Indiana.
I'm Alice Cavanis Gober, president of CE Arts.
And I'm Sarah E. Morin, secretary of CE Arts. Let's sit down
at the Roundtable. Okay, welcome back. We're here with video 2 in our Creative Placemaking series. Again, thanks to the Indiana Arts Commission for grant support for this video series and the book, the Polk Street Review, our annual project that this video series and our podcast are helping support this year. So thank you to Indiana Arts Commission for that. Video 2 is all about what is creative placemaking, and we're going to try to also go into what is community engagement, because one of the things that I found as a person who created a nonprofit and then was applying for grants to support projects that I wanted to do, like our projects, was that there were these words, these buzzwords and phrases like creative placemaking and community engagement and partnerships and all these. And partnerships, I was like, I kind of understand what partnerships are, but what the heck is community engagement? And creative placemaking, sounds like you're placing things at the table, you know, make your placemats very creative at the round table. Yeah. So I was very confused by these phrases, but they're very important for, especially if you're applying for grants, but they're very important for nonprofits and people who are hosting events and projects to understand their place in the community, the project's place in the community, and the community's place with your organization. Mm-hmm. That's kind of that partnership stuff. And so the bottom line for me, even though these words can be kind of confusing, there's a lot of definitions out there. They can be kind of vague and non-specific in terms of actual implementation, but the bottom line is that we would advise you, if you are thinking about starting a creative placemaking project, which we hope you will, to research, go online, go and, you know, talk to people who are involved in nonprofits, find out all the definitions you can, examples that you can of creative placemaking and community engagement, and then find ways that your project idea can incorporate elements of what you've researched and learned. And you also want to be looking at, you know, the results that are yielded. Now, I think it's there's a lot of places you can get definitions for these words, and I think it's very, very interesting that if you Google just creative placemaking, those two words, you'll get, what, I don't even know what this number is, 2,076,000 results in 47 seconds. Now, I did not read all those results. I went to the National Endowment for the Arts to see what they had to say about creative placemaking. And I'm going to read you this little paragraph because I think it does have some good key words in it and thoughts. In creative placemaking, public, private, not-for-profit, and community sectors partner to strategically shape the physical and social character of a neighborhood, town, tribe, city, or region around arts and cultural activities. So, what that says, pretty clearly, but it's a lot of words, is that creative placemaking is about getting artists and designers, community culture groups, arts research groups, cultural affairs offices, arts organizations, and even administrative city officials together. Get them all together to come up with ways to put that location on the map, so to speak. And on the map would be in terms of arts and culture. They want to, creative placemaking helps communities mobilize arts and culture to make the quality of life better where in that place, and to raise the visibility of arts and culture so that more and more people are participating. There's another paragraph I want to read from the National Endowment for the Arts. Creative placemaking animates public and private spaces, rejuvenates structures and streetscapes, improves local business viability and public safety, and brings diverse people together to celebrate, inspire, and be inspired. And I like that because it's a lot about inspiration. And that's kind of what we've tried to do with our projects. We always want people to leave a workshop or a presentation event night inspired to go either create something or go support somebody or something who's creating something. Again, those ants and grasshoppers, who knows?
And I think that impact, which is another big buzzword, goes hand in hand with these things, because the more people you engage with in your community, the bigger overall impact you have.
Yes, absolutely. And that it's really, if you think about it, creative placemaking is almost... The reason it's so vague is because there's no limits. I mean, if you think about arts and culture, I mean, the wonderful thing about art is that it has no limitations, right? Mm-hmm. And so creative placemaking is kind of building on that idea and saying, okay, think of an idea. Anything goes. Mm-hmm. Make it something in your neighborhood, your town, your city, your state, whatever, and make it live. Make that art thing live. So there are a few important factors to think about before you choose your project. We will be talking about choosing your project in future videos in this series. But one of the first things you want to do is think about coalition building. And again, that goes back to who are these partners that might really champion your project. Not just write a letter of endorsement for a grant application or something like that, but really champion it, really be part of it. And how would your idea, your project idea, advance their core interest and missions or those of their constituents, clients, customers? That's really important. And one of the things that we did with the Polk Street Review, for example, is we decided to offer the opportunity to local businesses to purchase ad space in the book. And it's not a lot. We don't expect, you know, 15 pages of ads, but we have they're reasonable rates. They're anything from a simple logo to a full page ad. So there's a lot of different size possibilities and cost possibilities for local businesses to advertise in the book. And we've just been thrilled that so many local businesses really are championing our project. And thank you to all of them. So that's one example of coalition building. Mm-hmm. But you also want to think about your city officials. Does your city or your town have an arts arm of the city government? Mm-hmm. And if so, you probably need to contact them. Also, your economic development people in city government would be very helpful, because especially if you're hosting an event or you're going to have a physical product like a book, you know, that you want to sell, you want anything that's going to help drive the economy, you want those ties with your economic development people. And then also any local arts organizations. Now, I'm assuming that you are going to create your own arts organization, but let's say you're not. Let's say you just need the support of an arts organization that already exists, that already has that framework out there. Mm-hmm. Well, you can take your project to them and say, how can you help me make this project happen?
Right. And I think that right there I want to tag on to, because yes, some people are going to maybe donate money as a sponsor, but some people it might be their reach on social media, getting the word out.
Sending out emails, right. Putting on online calendars.
They have the space for your project.
Yes.
So to leverage.
Yes, a venue space. Yeah,
exactly.
A venue is very important, yes.
Right.
So there are a lot of things to think about in terms of partnership. It's not always about who has the money. It might be about something else. Another thing to think about our resources. What kind of resources do you have available? Your resources, your organization's resources, your community's resources. And do you have an existing organization, or will you have to create one for the project? And then there's this whole idea of what kind of organization do you want? Do you want a nonprofit? There are advantages to that. A lot more grants available for nonprofits than for-profit organizations. Mm-hmm. But you could create an LLC, a limited liability company, for example, and host your creative placemaking projects that way. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot to think about in terms of resources. We'll talk more about resources in future videos. Right now, we're just going to hit some highlights. Locations. You want to think about locations. Are you going to need a home base for operations? are you going to need a venue or venues to host workshops or events? Mm-hmm. We're sitting at a round table that happens to be in my dining room. It is my dining room table. Because since we no longer have a home base of operations, we operate our video series and our podcast mm-hmm. out of my dining room. So I think I forgot to turn the heat off. It is winter. So you might hear my furnace come on. I meant to turn that off. Darn it. Oh, well, next time. But these are things to think about. Locations. When we have a workshop or an event, like a presentation event, we now are finding venues around town since we no longer have our own space mm-hmm. that we rent somewhere. So we find venues that we can rent or at the library or the Hamilton County Artists Association's Bertie Gallery, which is hosting our Polk's Review book launch in 2020. So you have to think about those kind of things when you're thinking about starting this creative placemaking project. Then you want to think about something that's a little more nebulous. You want to think about vibes, strengths, needs, yours and your communities, your project, your idea, what drives you. We always come back to inspiration. We always come back to literature and mm-hmm. art. These things inspire us. So our vibe is very creative, you know. It's very grounded in academics maybe, but it's very inspirational and creative, I think. You also have to look, though, at your community and see what's the vibe in your community. How do you think your community will respond to your project idea? Mm-hmm. And then, especially for nonprofits, our nonprofit is all volunteer, but a consideration is, are you working with volunteers or are you working with paid staff? If you're working with paid staff or if you are paid staff, you probably have someone you have to report to. The one nice thing about being an all-volunteer organization is that we get to make all the decisions and implement everything ourselves. We don't really have to report to anybody except our final reports that we have to send when we've received a grant from some wonderful organization. But your volunteers might include artists that are participating. Creative placemaking projects, you need to, if you're an initiator of a project or a partner for a project, you need to ask, what is the unique value that the artists and artist leaders bring to the project? And by artists, I should say, we mean all kinds of artists, whether they're musicians, fine artists, photographers, 2D, 3D,
cake makers,
theatrical people. I mean, arts with a capital A, right? And so I probably did that backwards for you guys, but capital A. The NEA, the National Endowment for the Arts, reports that there's a lot of naivete or lack of appreciation on the part of community partners. And again, these could be local governments, development organizers, everything, about compensation mm-hmm. for artists in terms of time and creative contributions. For example, you may find that there's a salary director of a local cultural arts development agency in your area that can afford to go to meeting after meeting after meeting because she or he is on the clock for those meetings. They're getting paid to go to those meetings. But an artist, if they're self-employed, that's taking time away from their creativity and their job as an artist to go and, you know, attend meetings that are about arts in their community. So if you want artists in your community to be involved in your placemaking project, you probably want to try and incorporate at least some sort of compensation for artists if that's appropriate for your project. Mm-hmm. It may be you have a project where that's not required or appropriate. You know, for example, publishing the Polk Street Review, I don't think any of the people who submit want to get paid to submit. They want to be in the book.
But they still get something out of
it. But they get that book right. out of it. And right. they get to say that they were published right. in a book that we have to go through all the submissions and mm-hmm. choose who gets published. I mean, right. and there are also the awards. I mean, that's not a monetary payback. That's a ribbon award. Mm-hmm. You know, there's no money involved. But the people who get the awards are thrilled to get the awards. They're very right. excited by that.
But so, no, you're right. Don't be a choosing beggar as an organization.
Exactly. Yes, sure. exactly. So, and then, you know, you want to think about about the possibilities for your end results and the products of your creative placemaking projects. It's important to understand how long a good creative placemaking effort might take. It can take years. It can take people like us, the project initiators, several years before you even get your project figured out, before you get it designed, funded, let alone completed. It might take years to build up a long-term reputation or brand as an organization or as that end product. For example, the Polk Street Review mm-hmm. book. We were lucky that that book, we kind of inherited it. Mm-hmm. It was already established. Our organization as Logan Street Sanctuary and then as Community Education Arts has built up over 6 years a pretty good brand, a pretty good positive reputation, I would say. Mm-hmm. But it took 6 years, you know, and in the third year I was like, oh boy, this is really rough, you know. So you have to think about, you know, your staying power and your community's staying power when you're looking at the partnerships and everything. You know, what's going to keep people engaged? Do you want to come up with a project idea that is going to be fresh and new every year? Okay. I think that's really important. There are also other kind of end results and products that may or may not be part of your creative placemaking project. Creating jobs and opportunities for artists. Again, sometimes this will be paid, sometimes it will be unpaid, but it could be a one-time opportunity, it could be temporary or permanent. There are public art installations that are creative placemaking projects that are permanent, and there are some that are temporary. They get taken down. Certain kinds of creative placemaking can actually increase property values or home ownership values. Public art, public access to art helps home values. That is something that property values, I should say, not necessarily just home. It could be business buildings too. Some creative placemaking, like public art, can attract tourists. Certain events that are held annually or at regular time periods can attract tourists. So there's always different things to consider and think about when you're thinking about end results and products. It may not just be a book or a festival. There may be a lot more involved. You also want to focus on service to existing residents. Not everybody is going to be thrilled if in the meadow next to their neighborhood you've decided to host a festival every year. You're going to have to reach out to those people, get them involved. It's access and consumption. What are you selling? You know, what are you trying to get the community to focus on? But to wrap that up, possible products that, you know, to name just a few, I personally believe that creative placemaking projects are endless, unlimited, and the products that can come from them are also unlimited. But to name a few, venues, artistic studio spaces, events that are weekly, monthly, annual, etc., affordable housing for artists, an artist in residency opportunity, publications, whether that's books, magazines, newsletters, exhibits, and online digital content. So all of these things are possible. In future videos, we'll talk about how you pick the best fit project for you and your community. Speaking of community, we are now to the point where we're going to talk a little bit about community engagement, which is probably one of the vaguest and craziest phrases you'll run across. Again, Googling community engagement brought about over 7 million results in 0.75 seconds. That's crazy. That tells you that people are searching for community engagement a lot. They want to know, what does that mean? I chose a Wikipedia definition because I thought it was a pretty good one. Wikipedia says, community engagement is a dynamic relational process that facilitates communication, interaction, involvement, and exchange between an organization and a community for a range of social and organizational outcomes. Well,
to me, you can boil that down to, why should people care?
Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah, did they get to be in the spectrum of partaking of art? Are they on the passive end or the active end, helping to design, create,
And this is where words like demographics come in, mm-hmm. and analytics, and we'll probably go into more detail about all that stuff in future videos. But you do need to include community engagement in your creative placemaking projects. You need your community for participation, for funding, for support. So you must engage your community, right? Good creative placemaking projects are based upon distinctive features and capabilities of the community, and incorporate or result in service for the community of some sort. That's paraphrased from the National Endowment of the Arts, and I think that's very important. It's all about that partnership with the community, but it's more than that. It's about understanding that vibe and that presence of the arts in your community. Your creative placemaking project is going to address all of that. So it's very important to not be afraid of the vague scariness of community engagement. It's very important to think, I can do this, we can do this, what are we going to do? What is our project going to be?
I remember Indiana Arts Commission made the community engagement a much bigger part of their rubric.
Yes.
As they decided what people
got. And that just terrified people, right?
Yeah, yeah.
I can remember the first time they really put that in a grant application with a high emphasis, and it happened to be the 1 year when I was actually invited to be, it's not a judge, what's the word when you're...
When the panelists.
Panelists, mm-hmm. who, thank you, one of the panelists for one of the grant opportunities. And community engagement was something that they actually asked us to do a little online training about, which I so appreciated, because not only did it help me understand when I'm writing a grant application for mm-hmm. our organization, it helped me understand more what they're looking for right. in terms of community engagement, but it also helped me see the projects I was evaluating, the applications I was evaluating, in terms of, okay, is this project really going to have that impact and engagement with the community? It's got to be more than, well, we're going to have a book launch. Okay, well, that's an event. That's great, but that's not the be-all, end-all. You know, one event or one exhibit or one thing is not enough anymore, if you will, to say, oh, I've got community engagement incorporated into my project. It's going to be a lot more than that. In our next video, which I think will be video three or four, we'll discuss in depth a little bit more about community engagement, because it is so emphasized in grant applications for nonprofit organizations who want to do creative placemaking. We do want to go into a little more detail about that. We're going to be looking at an article that was in Forbes, and I think we'll be able to discuss community engagement in a way that helps you guys out there understand how you can make that a really, really important and part of your creative placemaking project. But it's all about those partnerships. It's all about understanding the community you're in and your organization. So at this point, I want to say that I hope you will be looking into, if you have an organization, then start thinking of ideas for a project. If you don't have an organization, check your area and see if there's an existing cultural arts organization that could help you with a project, or think about creating your own organization. You can do it, right?
Yep, absolutely.
Okay, signing off for tonight, and we will be talking to you again very soon. Think that's enough for one night?
I think so too. Well, especially because as you were talking, it put so many little ideas of.
This has been At the Roundtable with Alice
and Sarah E.
of Community Education Arts.
Our nonprofit organization is based in Noblesville, Indiana. You can find us online at cearts.org.
This activity made possible in part with support from the Indiana Arts Commission and the National Endowment for the Arts, a federal agency.
We'd like to thank James Weston for writing our intro music and for his technical savvy.
Join us next time
at the Roundtable.